Hello. There it is. Wow.
Sam's never going to want to come back to this.
No.
Sam Farmer on a big assignment this week. As we're doing this, he is, of course, in Tampa Bay.
What's going on there? Big game?
It's the big game at the end of the year.
Yes.
That he's at. Of course, by now, when people hear this, that it will be over.
Yes. Did you see the post he made on social about how he went to some restaurant, walked to a place near his hotel, and he was standing outside, and of all the people inside, he was the only one that was going to be wearing a mask? Tells you where Florida's at right now.
Yeah. That's the world he's visiting. He said
it was,
right now.
I think he said something like it was kind of like being on a nude beach and the only one wearing a bikini or something like that.
Yeah, he's soaking in it right now, man. Yeah. It's interesting. Well, let's talk about it here in just a second. First, let's do this.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships and tune into this podcast. We're artificial friends.
I kind of jacked that up. Yeah. It's because I hear you guys 5 seconds later.
Know. It's always our fault.
It just swims in my head.
I mean, you usually tune us out. Why can't you in that first little bit?
Yeah. You know, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Just concentrating on the words.
My wife will tell you I'm a
certainly not for the chords.
Yeah, Laura will tell you I never listen. So it is incredible that I'm able to muster it for you guys.
Yeah.
So the Super Bowl. I guess we've talked about it in passing over the last few weeks. Again, as people hear this, it will be done for them and decided. But for us, it's tomorrow. And I'm torn because, in a way, I want I want Tom Brady to win to prove that it wasn't Bill Belichick all those years, but then I want Tom Brady to lose so people don't think it was Tom Brady all those years. So I guess I'm a de facto fan of the cultural appropriators in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is there any good other? I mean, okay, so it's been fairly proven that he cheated. So, okay, there's
which
that.
Time?
I mean,
Tom Brady. You're talking about Tom Brady this time or Bill Belichick?
Both.
Tom Brady. I mean,
because they both have had their.
Is
days
there
in the sun.
Anything other than that? That should make people hate him other than the fact that he's basically been an elite quarterback and won a bunch of championships. And despite the fact that there have been some problematic issues regarding both his gamesmanship and his politics, frankly.
Yeah, I was going to say he has a MAGA hat in his locker.
Yeah.
That I give you the one reason why you should also hate Tom Brady.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Mm.
He wears Uggs.
Okay, well, that does it.
Yep,
all there right. you go. That tears push it. Over it. Yeah. That's it.
He wears Uggs.
Yeah, that's not good. Although I have a feeling that maybe supermodel wife had something to do with that, you know, fashion choice.
You know what that makes me say? It makes me say Ugg.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Do you want to start the show over again?
That's what they call the low-hanging fruit.
All right, now we got that out of
I just got to squeeze
it. Out of our system, let's just start it. When the people that you know
don't like you.
Now that we practiced for a few minutes, I feel warmed up.
We got that big old hairy cat ball out your throat. Let's go.
Yep. There was our big improv exercise. Let's do the show now.
Yes. It's Yaff and.
Yaff that's and. Right. We're yaff anding.
We've got a lot to do on the program.
We do?
We do. We've got so much. As people hear this, it will also be, well, for all of us, it will still be pre-Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in a few minutes, Larry's going to recount back to us where we've all been in cones of silence and don't know what each other have chosen. We're going to hear picks for best and worst. Is that right? Best and worst? Is that roughly?
It's kind of come down to that. I think it's like janky love song that just drives it. I don't know, but we'll have to figure out the category.
This format, I like just going forward on every topic. You know what I mean? Like whatever the topic is, the best of that topic and the worst of that topic.
I kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Wait, are we supposed to do that today? I'm kidding. No, I got it.
So that's coming up in a few minutes. Yes. Here. I just gotta share with you, you guys. You both are fathers, and so maybe you can relate on this issue a little bit. And I won't go into too much detail. I don't want to embarrass my children and so forth. But
any more than you already do.
Any more than I already do, just by being their father,
right?
Is it the age that they are that we're going through right now? I'm interested in hearing your feedback on it after I tell you where each of them seems to be right now. Vivian's 6. And she has entered a stage of great willfulness. Mm-hmm. and somewhat disobedient.
Oh, nice.
And so it's been, you know, she doesn't, I think a lot of it has to do with getting a nap during the day, honestly.
Well, I'm the same way, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just right. Universal, right?
Oh, God, if we all got a siesta, how much nicer would life be?
I'm so cranky in the afternoon, unless I have my little, 20, 30-minute little cat nappy.
If everybody in the world had a fucking nap in the middle of the day, I bet there'd be 30% less murder.
Even when he was an infant, like 6 months old, could not get that kid to nap. He just doesn't nap. He does not nap. He gets up and it's like somebody just lights rocket fuel in him, and he can't walk. He cannot walk. He has got to run, skip, hop, jump, bounce off a wall. Walking down a mall. I point to my wife. I'm like, watch. He cannot go 3 steps without jumping or running or doing skipping at all. He just can't walk. He's just there's rocket fuel in his system.
Yeah. I think that has a great deal to do with it. And I understand that right now the situation they're in. Yeah. We've all got it tough. Everybody has their own version of difficult right now. But imagine how it is for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, their DNA tells them, like you say, to go and run and have fun and move. Kids can't stay still for a long period of time. And they're allowed to do that at school. They're allowed to, to move around. She's in, it's kindergarten. And they're broken up into small little pods of like 8 or 10 or something and so forth. So, and everybody wears a mask. It's really, they go out of their way to keep everybody healthy. And they have all year long. But when she doesn't have this nap, the end of the evening, she is holy hell. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I am at the other end of it more than Lara is. I think part of it is that I grew up in a much more disciplinarian household than she did.
Right.
And so I think that this bullshit shouldn't pass. You know what I mean? I've already, my father, was someone who believed in corporal punishment for my older brothers and sisters. I think I got a swat on the butt once.
Oh, good Lord.
But the ones that passed before me, they got much more than that.
I had to go pick out my tool of beating. He would send me upstairs to go get the belt.
So when it came to raising kids, before we had any, Lara and I were on the same page of we're going to break that right now.
Right.
The time you raise a hand to your kid, you've blown it, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you haven't used smarts,
I just don't even have the heart to actually
right.
do it.
Right. You don't want that.
Right.
And you realize that a great deal of what they do, if you stop and you really think about, use some intuition as to what they're trying, what's bothering them, you can figure that out and diffuse the situation. But at any rate, she just gets willful. And so there aren't a lot of arrows in your quiver for what you can do when that comes around. So that's been difficult. And then Silas is 10, and again, doing the homeschooling stuff. That has to be, especially because we went out of our way to send him to a school where you wouldn't have to do, there's no screen time. There's no screen time. For most of the people that go there, that's why they went there, is to get rid of that shit.
Right.
And now so he's got to be
all
on,
there is.
He's on a Zoom meeting all day long.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting. It's like me. So I feel for him, but I found him getting on Safari. Yeah. And getting on Firefox. Did I tell you about the whole thing last week where I come in? He's like, hey, there's a new episode of WandaVision today. It's Friday. And I'm like, how did you know that?
Intuition.
And he's like, I heard it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Okay. And I said, you want to alter your story? And he's like, no. And I start walking into the room and I go in there and I find the computer and I open it up. And he goes, well, what are you looking at? And I said, oh, just checking something here. And I pull up Firefox and I look at the browsing history and I'm like, looks like somebody searched for WandaVision here. And he's like, I think that was last week. I'm like, here's today's date. And, you know, caught him in the lie. And he's like, I looked it up real. I'm like, you've blown it for the weekend. There's nothing this weekend. You aren't going to see a pixel this entire weekend,
the worst,
right?
Is you're giving him an out like every 2 minutes. You're like, are you sure? And the stone look right in the eye. Just like, No, not me.
Look. These are really beautiful, wonderful, loving children, and I'm not worried, you know, that they'll cut up their significant others in their 20s and eat them or anything like that.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's a good thing that you're pretty sure your kids will not be murderous cannibals.
But I'm only working my way back from that in degrees.
You're a successive father incrementally. If you do that.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't turn out to be cannibals. So, I got to say, really,
you can't call me a failure. Yeah.
And by the way, I'll be honest. Jury's out on Viv on that one. But
so that's where I'm at. Like, he's 10. I'm wondering, is this the normal?
Is this the age where
they're trying to find daylight between us and them and so forth? I mean, because at some point you start to worry, oh my God, am I raising a kid without any character,
I just think this is being at home, like actually seeing their kids. They're going to get into trouble. Owen this week was like, he... Twice in a row, I heard his teacher yelling at him, and I'm like, and he had this little gift that we were going to give him as a surprise for being good, because he was good for like 10 days in a row, and then Thursday, he just shit the bed at school, and then he had a meltdown because he didn't get his little gift, and then the next day, I like woke up this morning, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a good day, right, bud? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And then like 30 minutes into school, I hear his teacher bitching him out, and I'm like, you just can't go a day in a row without it, and it's... I think it's Ava is I'm by him all the time. I see like everything that he's doing now. You know what I mean? Where you go to school, he comes home. You don't know all the times he got in trouble, unless it was like a really bad thing or something like that. But it's just kids growing up. It's just, you know, it's just kids growing up. None of them are saints.
I think that they're just displaying pretty typical kid behavior. And Josh is right. They're in unusual circumstances. We're all a little freaking stir crazy. All of our patterns have been thrown off. And kids, you know, you guys have established a pretty regular kind of lifestyle for them that they understand, and they understand the parameters. And suddenly all those are gone. But what you're talking about them doing is not anything inherently like disturbing or I mean, it's pretty typical. And also keep in mind, you know, you guys are being, there is an element of discipline you guys are giving them that not many of their contemporaries have, as far as like limiting the screen time and stuff. Most parents are just not doing that, and they know that. And so if there's going to be any rebellion, it's, I'm going to sneak onto the internet. I mean, it's going to be impossible. And I think the only risk you run there is that when they really do get to a truly rebellious age, they might just kind of push back the other direction. But I think will be able to modulate that over time. You guys are smart. You guys are caring and loving, and they're trapped in one spot. And I think this is the kind of behavior that maybe you wouldn't necessarily notice as much, because you wouldn't be home as much if we were in normal
circumstances. Oh, God, that sounds great. Yes. That's it. You've just,
I mean,
this is what I've missed the entire time. I need to check out.
You are there all the time. So you see every little nuance and every. Yes, we all do.
That's, That's the answer that I was. That's the missing element. I'm engaged. God damn it! Where have my head been?
I mean, you need to be like in this little cave right here, where you are right now, more often. You need to hide in your little voiceover cave.
Larry, thank you. You're thank welcome. You for that. You know, that is sounds, exactly
you know,
it.
It sounds like Andy needs a 30-minute nap every once in a while.
Maybe a three-hour nap.
Andy's missing his afternoon nap.
It really, oh, God, it sounds great. Yeah. Oh, man. I get so little
sleep.
Now, what
happens if you went to that search history and you saw, like gutter installation?
I'd be so proud.
Exactly.
I'd tear up.
See, this works well both
up
ways.
With pride. Yeah. No, instead he's Googling celebrity butts. what are you doing?
Now see, if I had a son and I went in there and I was like, dude, what are you doing wasting your time on gutters when there's so much porn available for free? Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Get your mind out of the gutter. That's not what I meant.
Wow. Yeah, it's there's another one. Are you keeping track of these, Josh?
I regretted that before I said it.
We'll pull a little time mark on there so we know where to get rid of that one.
I regretted it before I said it.
I'll email you at the end of the show, Andy. Wait a minute.
Yeah, so, Andy, tell our editor to go ahead and cut that one out.
Wait, we have an editor?
Yeah, leave that that's right. Floor. That's you.
Dude. Yeah, we would have.
These shows would be 10 minutes long.
They probably should be, really.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the day we start trying is the day it isn't fun anymore.
Hey, they're going to be fine. Those are really, really cool kids. They have very distinct individual personalities. I'm a little, honestly, worried about Vivian, but I think they're both great. I think they're both going to be awesome.
Thing is, you know, as Laura says, you don't want a wallflower, do you? You don't want, you know, you want somebody that's not going to be a pushover, and by God, I think back, you know, to the future, I fear for the poor motherfucker that dates her, because she's going to run them roughshod. She's going to put them to their paces. Yeah. It's going to be, she's a force to be reckoned with. But you know what was really cool is right before this, Vivian, oddly, is the not oddly, I don't, that's a sexist thing to say, I guess. But Vivian is the one who is more, has more patience for like fix-it chores. Like when I'm out doing something, working on something, she'll come by and say, what are you doing? And can I help? And, you know, that kind of thing. So she's more curious about things like that. And just lately, anyway, that's the way she's been recently. And so she has a dollhouse that she inherited from mom that my father-in-law made for her. And it's beat to shit. It's, you know, it's been through the paces or, you know, 35 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've told her, you know, is there a project that we could work on? And I said, yeah, you know what really needs some work is that dollhouse.
You're going to put gutters on it?
Tiny little gutters.
It looks like your dollhouse needs a little platform for a grill. Where's the carport? A shed would go great right here.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
We are going to do it up. Wow, you just got me interested. Yep. That's fantastic. Yep. That's glorious. Anyway, right before this, she you know, lit up when I brought that up. And, you know, Laura was saying, you know, why don't you, instead of, you know, always being at loggerheads, maybe try to find ways where you don't always want to be at odds with her, but find ways where you can bond. And so, like, right before I came out here to do this, I brought her dollhouse out and set it on the, you know, the dining room table. And she helped me find all the parts for it. And I said, so we're going to work on this a little this afternoon. Are you into that? She said, yeah. And like us and showed her all the pieces that we have, pieces that broke off that she had never seen on it. All of these different things and I said, you know, different things we could do and new wallpaper and carpet and all these different things. And she, you know, like I went outside and Laura was out there. She's like, she's really excited about it. You know, it's like she lit up with the excitement of what we can do with that together. So that's going to be great. And I'm excited to have a project that perhaps, unless you're, you know, entirely heartless, you two assholes can't shit on.
Just give us one chance. That's all you need.
The gutters. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is. I think you kind of have to do it now.
You see him out there when it's all done with a watering can just over top of the house going, look how well they work. Look at that. Look at the drainage right off to the side.
Little tiny rain catchment barrels.
Oh, Jesus.
little cans of Coke that you painted blue.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. What a great idea. Yeah.
Actually, it would be really cool for her if it did kind of mirror what your house looks like.
Yeah,
that would be kind of cool. So the auto pavilion and the whole bit, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little tiny concrete slab in the back that's got, you know, sloped and it's got a little dip in it.
That looks like somebody didn't do a good job.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Too soon.
Hey, if you still have like the shed plans, you could just divide it by like 64, all the measurements, and then you just build that thing right there.
There you go.
Right?
It's true. It's the truth.
Much easier to carry those giant hunks of wood back and forth from the hardware store.
Yeah. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to order
one trip.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to go online and see if I can order 15 9-gram bags of cement.
Tiny little bags of cement.
Instead of 90 pound. Yeah, just get little tiny ones and open them one by one and mix them.
Are you going to call your buddy and be like, I mixed up 16 9-gram bags of cement.
I got a machine for that.
Well, the problem is you didn't get enough and you're going to make Laura go back and get more and bring them to you.
Yep, that's all going to happen.
That's all callback stuff from last week.
How many special tools are you going to have to buy for this this house?
Oh, I was just thinking. That was the thing that I was thinking about.
Oh, boy.
What's the tool?
You know what I need to do? I need to go on Amazon.
Okay.
And I need to find – I have one of those Dremel tools.
Yeah.
But I need to order like one of the, you know, 395 piece, accessories where they've got this, you know, diamond blades and cutting blades and sanding. They're great. But I'm down to like, you know, all of the bits that came with it have, you know, burned up or been damaged. So I'm down to like finding household things that I can, you know, I'll put a Q-tip in there. I'm going to use it as a buffer, you know?
Oh, just stick it in your ear.
Right? So I need to buy a whole big set of it so that I can really go in detail about the stuff. But today I think is going to be like, you know, massive big pieces, a bunch of wood glue and clamping shit together and doing some major renovations.
Okay.
Excited about it.
That's pretty exciting.
That is fun.
It's good stuff. Yeah. You guys, I wanted to ask you, are you watching the big game at the end of the year?
I don't know. It depends if I'm here or not. I don't know. I don't really care. I haven't watched it in years, now that I think about it.
Seriously?
Here's the problem. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think I've just, believe it or not, just become uninterested in sports now. And it's been more and more every year. And it's not that I'm uninterested. I'm still interested in the teams that I like. You know what I mean? So I will watch fervently every Steeler game and every Penguin game. But when it comes to a game that doesn't involve them, I don't really care. So it's me. It's this weird thing of I'm not sure I really like the game anymore. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. I'm more like the team and the colors and that what that represents. And now it's just like,
But the Super Bowl is one that it kind of transcends football in some ways with the halftime show and the commercials.
They
and
like
so
to
forth.
Think it does, yeah. And I think it has been a cultural event for a long time. But I agree with Josh. I think the luster of that has started to wane. The commercials aren't enough entertainment, and the halftime is always lame.
The rule changes and not being able to understand how the game flows, and then they take 15 minutes to make a call, and you're like, I don't even understand what the hell they're talking about. How do they not see that as a fumble? Or you know what I mean? It's just, it's some of these things where you're just like, where's the game that I grew up loving? And there's too much shit going on that I don't understand. I don't understand the rules anymore.
Well, I lied before. My whole reason is that I get one day of the fucking year where I can put my feet up, drink beer for 6 hours, and eat a bunch of horse shit.
You can do that. Well, then that's your problem. You need to put more of those days aside.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, there you have it. Okay. But it's the one day I get So that's what I'm looking forward to most out of tomorrow is all the snacks
that we're going to have. What are you making?
Well, every year, and Laura's, you know, 100%, like her eyes lit up when I said, hey, what kind of Super Bowl snacks are you going to get? And
she said, some of those tofu wings again?
We need, yes, God damn it. They're not tofu. They're going to be some... I don't know what they are. I don't know what the fuck they are, but
they're not chicken. They're like chorkin.
I'm gonna eat. Admittedly, chicken nuggets are probably barely chicken as well. That's so we don't really know what's in those either.
Yeah, but absolutely, we're gonna have some of that stuff, and we'll have some buffalo wings. Air quote wings.
Air quote wings. Yeah.
We'll have, or maybe some, you know, buffalo. Cauliflower or some horseshit.
So everything will be buffalo flavored, apparently.
Buffalo. We'll do that. We'll have chips of multiple varieties. And the one that she got excited about was the French onion dip.
Oh, yeah.
You got to do Lipton's or whatever, you know, the French onion.
Let me tell you, me and my wife, there's this dip called
sour cream.
Hell of a Good Dip. It's in Pennsylvania. I think it's an East Coast thing because I've never seen it out here. And it's the best chip dip in the world. And we figured out the recipe for it. So if you're going to make a dip, try this. Do half of the, take like your sour cream tub, right? And then half of the French onion soup powder mix, and then half ranch powder mix, and mix that together. That's where it's at.
Oh.
Try that.
You know what, Josh? Yeah. You're a hell of a good dip.
Thanks. I don't know what that means. But
I think you do. I'd like to believe you do.
It's a hell of a good dip. Don't knock it.
Larry,
yeah.
Was there anything else that on the table that anybody had to discuss?
Since we are going to be actually appearing just before Valentine's Day, you guys have any Valentine's plans that you are feel willing to divulge before the big day on Sunday?
What a great question.
Obviously, the answer is no. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody's jumping in there.
We're going to go down to San Diego.
Really?
We're going to go down to San Diego.
You have relatives down there?
No,
or you just...
no, we're going to go down there, hit the zoo, and then go over to the USS Midway.
They opened the zoo back up. Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
It's actually, they sell like limited tickets. So you pick like a time, you know what I mean? It's all reservations. You pick times and they make sure that there's not a lot of people in there. We went a while ago before the second wave hit, and it was actually pretty cool because it never gets crazy busy, you know, and it's outdoors, so it's not like people are crammed, you know, everybody's jumbled in one space. And I think they do a really good job of, like, even where the spaces can get a little tight, like maybe shutting those, you know, like off so there won't be a jam-packed crowd like right here. It's kind of a cool thing just to get out and walk around.
All the animals wear masks?
No.
All right. No.
They did have some cases of some gorillas contracting COVID-19 down there. They actually did have confirmed cases. So I believe some of the gorillas will be wearing masks. But
I'll tell you one thing. You know, there are varying degrees of adherence to COVID-19 precautions. And when you travel to, like, say, Orange County.
Right.
I mean, if you go down there, I mean, you'll be able to, I'm sure you might find a place where you can eat indoors. There are some restaurants where the waiters will just come kiss you on the mouth.
Exactly.
They've been rather defiant down there about certain restrictions. I think in San Diego, it's been a little tighter, but they haven't been quite the hot spot.
You can find a place, I think, to eat in San Diego as well, but they're more outdoor and
fun. I mean, it's just going to be nice to. Won't it be nice to get in a car and go somewhere? actually get out and
exactly. And then we're going to go to the USS Midway afterwards or the next day.
Oh, nice!
Wow. I've never been on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, is it? It's moored there.
It's
retired,
yes,
right? Midway.
Yes. But it's only they shut down like a bunch of the stuff, but you can still go to the top level and the hangar level. So that's something to do, just to get out, man.
Yeah,
it's got a 3-day weekend.
What is the history of the aircraft carrier Midway? I know about the Battle of Midway and how that was
the first. What do they call it? Like the first ship of that class of that carrier class, and it was like the first ship that was built post World War II. First capital aircraft carrier ship, and like it served in all the wars, and I think it was only retired in like 92. something like that. Like, so it served up through like the Gulf War.
They run those forever. By the way, you know, the B-52 bomber?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Built after, you know, World War II in the 50s, around there, and served through the entire Cold War. The thing's been flying for 60 years.
Yep.
And they're talking about how they're so great that they may fly them for another 30 years.
Well, I thought they just retired them recently, didn't they?
Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I just read something where they were saying that, you know, it's such a reliable platform that they may not get rid of it
big
entirely.
Big giant prop plane.
Those things, think about it. Those things have been hauling the mail for a long time. Yeah. Okay, well, Larry, to answer your question, I would imagine I'm going to take my wife out for an outdoor socially distanced meal somewhere.
When you say I would imagine, I'm guessing that means you've made zero plans to do so.
What I'm saying is those
reservations are going to be so easy to come by at this point.
I think we'll be able to get it anywhere. Yeah. But my plans are fluid because I don't think, for example, Grammy will be visiting or anything.
Gotcha.
So I think the kids will be in tow. So the visit will be to, burgers and more.
Chuck E. Cheese.
It's not going to be to, you know, Chez Nous.
Gotcha.
So, I think we'll be just fine in that regard.
See, there you go again. Everybody stuck together one more time. Vivian just throwing a fit at the table, tossing the salt shaker at people.
Andy, now I think about it, I wonder, because I notice Owen kind of butts heads with Cindy more than he does with me. So I wonder if it's just like a gender thing. I wonder if, like, because you're a little, she doesn't understand you as much as she easily would understand your wife. You know what I mean? Does that make sense at all? Because I noticed Owen and Cindy, like, when they go at it, it's just like watching two Rams just butt heads for an hour. And it's like, well, you two stop. Just stop.
It was the same for Alex and Sharla. They absolutely loving, but if there was a problem, it was escalated between those two. And I was always accused of being the fun dad.
I was like, I'm the same way.
I'm just as much a jerk about stuff with him, but for some reason he just didn't resent me as much.
I don't know, because Silas is very, very close with Laura. Don't discount the possibility that I'm just an asshole.
No,
that was the very first thing I thought we talked about.
Yeah, that was where you
it was kind of
first.
A given, really.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it was already factored into the equation.
I thought you already figured that out yourself.
She'll tell you maybe another 7 years or maybe 2 years, but she will tell you to your face you're an asshole, so you'll know.
Oh, well, she's hinted at it already.
Yeah.
She just doesn't
know the word or realizes that she can say the word yet. But as soon as she, you know, wraps her head around it, it'll be coming out of her mouth every 15 minutes.
You're a bad daddy and I don't like you.
Your search history is now, why is my dad an asshole?
Larry, what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Oh, I actually did make a reservation, since they have been hard to come by around here, at a local winery, Hearst Winery, up in San Simeon. They have a beautiful spot outdoors. It's all open air. They have little individual picnic tables around their grounds, and they have food trucks that come in, and you can do a little wine tasting, go get yourself a little tasty treat, and it's literally looking right at the ocean on this piece of property on Hearst land there, and it will be lovely. And
man, I cannot wait to I guarantee you'll never in the world think that I'm about to say what I'm about to say, but I would love to go wine tasting
Josh.
I miss that shit, man. Oh, so good. Just spending the day bouncing around different wineries and so good.
They're back open up here.
They
are. I mean, you have to, again, the same thing as the zoo. You have to make reservations, and the places that we like are back open, and you just kind of, instead of going in and communally at the bar, you know, they, you know, pour your tastings, you go out to little outdoor tables throughout the properties.
Yeah, I guess.
And they bring you the bottles, and it's quite lovely.
It's been so long.
We're looking forward to that.
So, that's cool.
So you gonna split a bottle of wine, you and Charlotte?
We might just do their like tasting,
little tasting flight,
and get a little food, do a couple of flights, and enjoy that. It's been a while since we've actually enjoyed wine, and we have a puppy sitter built in here at the house, so that's good. By the way, the behavior you're talking about with Vivian is exactly the behavior exhibited right now by Bixby. It's the exact same thing. He's just a pain in the ass at the end of the night. If he doesn't have his nap, he's just all activity and just rebelliousness. And of course, he loves Charlotte to death every moment of every day. But he just gets pissy with me if I try and discipline him at all. So, yeah,
all right.
Having the same exact problem as you are.
I think you just called my child a dog, which is not exactly sitting well with me.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Larry.
Yes.
I turn things over to you for the next segment. This is what we alluded to at the top of the program, whatever it may turn out to be. I don't know. What would you call it? You take the reins.
Well, we discussed this being an episode that was coming right before Valentine's Day. And let's face it, Valentine's weekend, for those who are going to celebrate. We thought that we would delve into love songs, and it just kind of evolved. I think, once again, we all three went down a very similar path, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But essentially, it turned out one of them is kind of more sincere, that we actually genuinely like as a song that evokes that kind of emotion, and we like hearing it. We think that it moves us or whatever. And the other one, to varying degrees, in no way should be considered a viable love song. I think all three of us managed. These are very personal choices. Now, I will say, once again, without conferring with each other, our sincere songs are, at the very least, all three tangentially related, and two of them are directly related.
Oh, nice.
And I'll explain that as we go. But Andy, I think I'd like for you to go first with your sincere one.
All right. I don't know how to start this exactly. With my sincere one, I can tell you I had a hard time. Can I say what the tie that I had? Is that going to ruin anything?
It depends. You want me to just play it first and you can tell the story?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I was torn. I'm like, what rock song, love song do I think of that isn't schmaltzy or maybe even is schmaltzy, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It seems sincere. And Jerry Rafferty, Right Down the Line, is, you know, one of my favorite songs of all time. It's just sounds awesome. I love Jerry Rafferty. But then I realized that if I'm true to myself, the real love song that I like the most is a silly one. That fucking bass line.
I was just about to say the same thing.
It's sick.
He's one of the most underrated bass players.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Listen to the first song on the first album, Please Please Me. I saw her standing there. And listen to that bass line. He's chopping wood.
His bass lines are literally, I just imagine that's what's going on in his head. You know what I mean? Like, if he was to hum the bass line, that's what it would be. Just
a, you know, it's effortless.
You know what it took is when they put out the remasters in, was it 2006 when the remastered?
No, it was 999.
Yeah. What? No. They did him again right around the time we were working at the sound. 2009?
Yeah, it was 09, 09, 09.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's when it hit me, because those remasters suddenly gave so much more presence to not only Paul's bass playing, but just the rhythm section in general. He and Ringo suddenly were elevated in my mind to be, those are actually great musicians. And those bass lines that Paul plays are their own very unique, intricate melodies that fit with these songs. He's an incredible bass player.
And the one thing about him is, it's like, I know this is oversaid. I've heard it a million times, but it's what a lot of times it's what he doesn't play. You know what I mean? He doesn't try to make it super fancy. It's just like the stream of consciousness. It's just like, I feel like I said, it's, if he were to sing the bass, if you were like, Paul, sing the bass, he'd just be like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's aware of what he's playing. You know, it's just going on in his head.
Right.
It's incredible. And that's the result of those guys playing their instruments all the time. Yeah. And they had such good chops playing in the Cavern Club and playing in the Kaiser Skeller or whatever the hell it was.
The Retzkeller.
All of these, all the time. I mean, they're playing three shows a day. Yeah, and you get to the point where when they walked in to Abbey Road, those, 10 songs they did in that one day, that was their repertoire. Yeah. It was easy to run through because whatever's doing their concert.
I guarantee part of it was that he got so bored just, playing thump, thump, thump over time. Yeah. It was just like, I've got to make this more interesting for myself.
Totally. Well,
and one of the great things about that song, Silly Love Songs, is that it was a critic who said, if I have the story right, who said, Paul McCartney's, I guess it's all right for some people, but he just keeps writing these silly love songs and that's all he can do. Whatever. And so he heard that and said, all right, fucker, here you go. Yeah. And he does that song and it's number one around the world. Right. And it's like, all right, I'll do more silly love songs, asshole. It's pretty great.
Well, I think this segs beautifully into Josh's sincere love song, as a matter of fact.
Well, this topic was tough for me because I never consciously listened for love songs. You know what I mean? I don't know what a good love song is. And I had to pick out, my wife she's not really too much into music. And so when I had to pick out a song for our first dance, she was like, oh, it'll be easy for you. And I was like, yeah, it'll be easy. And then I sat down, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know what a good love song is. So I literally put my iPad on and I'm like, okay, there's got to be a
Beatles.
Talk
to me, Alice in Chains. Talk to me.
There's got to be. I'm like, I love the Beatles and I know they have love songs. And I'm like, I'll just listen through their entire library until I find the one. And then this is the one that popped up. And I was like, this is perfect.
Is that
it's amazing. Just, and I want to find the Paul wrote it, right?
Yep. It's a Paul song, another Paul song.
But then the the what John does and with the harmony over top of that. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of excuses or a lot of instances rather of John shitting on Paul's stuff.
Right.
You wrote granny music.
In fact, Silly Love Songs was a little bit of not only a response to that critic, but also to John Lennon at the time, giving him crap about his songwriting.
Didn't Paul McCartney say, I don't hear anybody humming John Lennon songs. Something like that.
Well, listen to this. Yeah, he called it granny music. It's like, oh, here's another granny song from Paul. This is from Wikipedia. Beatles producer George Martin highlighted it as one of his favorite McCartney songs. Lennon reportedly told McCartney that Here, There, and Everywhere was the best tune on Revolver. In a 1980 interview for Playboy, Lennon described it as, quote, one of my favorite songs of the Beatles.
Yeah. That song's just, it's.
And McCartney has said it's maybe his favorite Beatles song, too, various times.
It's just gorgeous.
Great pick. Well,
that was our first dance. That's
lovely.
Song. Yep.
Here's the thing. We almost went 3-for-3 Paul McCartney. It was this close because I, for a little while, had Maybe I'm Amazed in there. I had Not Everybody Loves This Song, but My Love, I actually really, really like that song.
That is a good song.
And then I kind of moved on to a different Beatles song, and George Harrison's Something kind of moved it to the top. And then, and this is where it's tangentially related, the song that Josh just played, apparently Paul McCartney was inspired by listening to the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds and wrote that song. And for me, this is the all-time, and this also fits into that category.
I know what it is, and it's so good.
A song that we talked about last week that you could play over and over on a loop and I'd never get sick of it is this one.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Just it gives me chills still right now. And I mean, it's kind of the perfect song. In fact, for me, that's probably top five, one of my favorite songs of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brian's production on that, the writing on that, Carl's vocal on that, and
Carl Wilson's vocal.
He's
oh
a freaking angel in that.
He was the best singer in the band.
Yeah,
Carl
yeah.
Wilson. And that song, how the verses begin with such a fatalist intent of, you know, I may not always love you, or you know, if you should ever leave me,
right?
Oh my God,
yeah.
It's such a pragmatic love song.
Yeah, there's that element of melancholy that I like a little bit. That's like, look, things may not always go the way they're supposed to go, but God only knows.
Yeah, love is fragile, and so am I. And if I didn't have you, I wouldn't be. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's so good. Good pick.
Yeah, that song just kills me.
These
and
are all good picks.
Apparently, did inspire the vocal arrangement on Here, There, and Everywhere. And that after listening to Pet Sounds, I guess they went into the Revolver sessions, something like that. I think it was around that time.
Pet Sounds. That's got to be, even though it's people still give it tons of accolades, I still think that's like one of the most underrated albums around.
It's incredible.
But I mean, for what it inspired and for what it did, such a good album.
You have to place it in history a little bit, because there are people who will listen to it and it feels outdated in some way. But if you understand the history of it and what they're doing and the way, I mean, it is not a surfer girl album. It is such this like really ambitious masterpiece of arrangement and production, and that most of the guys in the Wrecking Crew that were backing them up had no idea what Brian was fucking doing, and that it came together as beautifully as it did. That thing's incredible.
Yeah, some of them didn't understand. If you believe, if the movies are not apocryphal, you know, the accounts of the recording of it, where, you know, who's the bass player? She's so great. Can't think of her name.
Right. The female bass.
But in one of those movies about Brian Wilson, you know, she's like, are you sure you want me to do this? Because that doesn't, he's like, yeah, because that's going to come around. And she's like, okay. Yeah. You know, like, and people just agog at what he was able to do there. It's incredible.
Well, even Mike Love has said, you know, it's just like at one point we were just like, okay, Brian, whatever you say, man. It's just, let's just sing these little snippets of weird songs and okay. Good stuff. Man,
yeah,
I love
amazing.
That song. All right, now on to the Dreck, shall we?
What you've all been really waiting for.
What Andy dredged up here for the negative side of his love song. This is a very complicated tune, but certainly worthy of this category.
It certainly is. And timely with the death recently of Phil Spector.
Indeed. Oh, so this is your big tribute to Phil Spector, is it?
This is.
We say homage.
Yeah, this is my...
Valentine's
Day wish.
Artificial friends.
Valentine's Day wish for Phil Spector to
because
rock.
If there's anything he was all about, it's love. So.
Yeah. I mean,
his guns.
It's his middle name.
His hair.
He produces, but he's not the only one that bears responsibility. This song was written. You know who wrote this?
Yeah.
Carole King.
Yeah, Jerry Goffin and Carole King. Jerry Goffin.
It's a Goffin King song, and it's done by the Crystals.
I'm dying. This, I don't know what this
what
is.
What a great time to print something, Laura.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do to her, Andy?
I'm going to thank her for that. What a great idea. I'm going to unplug the fucking printers right now.
It's the perfect time for some mild domestic violence.
Right? Okay.
We should quickly play the song so people know what the hell I'm talking about.
You should. Let it play. The Crystals.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss.
Oh, gosh.
He hit me, but it didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is
good
painful.
Good Lord.
Do you know the story behind this song, Andy?
I've never even heard this song.
I do. I guess Little Eva.
Yeah.
Came to. She was babysitting for. Was it Goffin King?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
is this pre Locomotion? Obviously.
Yeah. And she looked a little roughed up, right?
Yeah.
And they said, "What happened to you?" And it's like, "Oh, you know, my boyfriend." And this, I don't know if this is true or not, but she said, "Oh, my boyfriend." Hit me, but you know, like, what are you going to do about that? You should do something. It's like, no, I know it's because he, you know, he loves me, or he wouldn't get so mad or something like that. Yeah. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And
good Lord.
Yeah. And so this song is
so they sat down and said, let's write a song about it.
Let's write it too. Well, she has since said that she thoroughly regrets being a part of it. Right.
Because it was so misinterpreted, which at the time it was a very unusual topic to throw out there.
But and it's not. It, Phil Spector didn't present it as satire isn't the right word, but you know, as something that is, you know, you should be circumspect about. It was just presented as this. You know, there's that almost funereal beat, and you know, it's a minor key, and it's like. There's no resolution of, and this is wrong. You know, Johnny Cash's songs, you know, Delia, Delia, oh, yeah. Delia, Delia, all my life. If I hadn't shot poor Delia, I'd have had her for my wife. Well, at the end of the fucking thing, you hear what's going on. Jailer, I can't sleep. All around my bed, I hear the patter of Delia's feet. He's haunted, and he's in jail, and he's serving, you know, a sentence for the crime that he's committed, right? There's some... you know, something, there's some resolution to it, you know, Folsom Prison Blues and so forth. But there's no real, oh, and that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah. And in 1962, they were not conditioned for pop songs to be, you know, really in-depth social commentary from a character point of view. So it was widely misinterpreted when it came out.
Understandably.
Phil Spector, despite it being a rather, you know, dark tone and the beat and everything, he'd still put his glossy sheen all over it.
Right? I mean, the song, I mean, if you don't know the words, if it were in another language, I'd listen to that and say, wow, that's really well crafted.
I know
and,
by
and,
hearing this for the first time that I chose the wrong song for my first dance.
So sorry for bringing everybody down.
No, Josh, I think the song you picked might be just as offensive in completely different ways. Do you want to go ahead and intro yours?
This song, this was a song that when I was in high school was, you know how like one of your first girlfriends, you have your song together, and this was that song. And only recently when I started, was on Spotify and I was creating my own playlist, I stumbled upon this song again and I put it on my playlist. Only to find out that every time that song comes up on my playlist, I listen to about 4 seconds of it and fast forward and get rid of it. So I haven't, like, listening to this whole song is just, it's just, you'll get it. Go ahead.
More than words is all you have to do to make it real. Then you will.
That you love me.
Oh, man.
It is a good song, though.
Do you guys remember the video?
It's so cheesy, but it's good. That's the thing. I don't hate the song as much as I hate the video. I
guarantee
I don't have a problem with the song, but the video is just drives me bananas.
There's at least 15 shots where each one of them is just looking straight into the lens and making love to that. I mean, they're singing, looking right into the camera. And it's just like, ugh.
And my favorite part of it is the bass player and the drummer in the background, like so bored, and they get a lighter out and they're waving it back and forth. I played this as a contemporary, new song on Hot AC Radio.
Oh,
and
there were what was this, 1990?
And more than a few times, I had to let people know, hey, if you really love this beautiful acoustic song by Extreme and you go get the album, the rest of it's not going to sound like that.
Exactly.
Because it was, it was in your face.
Yeah. Mr. Biggs, To Be With You.
Oh, that was another one.
There aren't 10 other songs on the album like that.
No, that was, but that song, that was one of the first songs I learned on the guitar because my girlfriend loved that song so much.
Nice.
That's so good.
I told my wife, and she still brings it up every once in a while and laughs at me. But yeah, did you guys ever see the shot-for-shot remake that Jack Black and Jimmy Fallon did of that video?
Yes.
Oh, it's priceless. Aaron, if you're listening, put that up on the Facebook page because the Jack Black thing is just, I mean, down to them looking like right at the camera with black fingernails and you know what I mean? And the rags wrapped around their arm or, you know what I mean? Like scarves wrapped around their knees and just stuff like, oh, it's just so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
And black and white.
Yeah, it's all bad. All right, and mine.
Bring it home.
Mine is This is there was no doubt in my mind. I talk about treacly and lazy, and the fact that this song may have actually been so many couples' wedding song for years and years and years and years, and is still in that rotation. That this song even exists rankles me. Here we go. That's all I'm going to play.
That's enough. That's enough.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's just talk about freaking lazy songwriting. It's like a Muppet. Near. Far, wherever you are.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Here's the difference. Compare that to what Josh picked. Here, there. It's amazing that it's not that far from it lyrically, but it is a universe away as far as what it makes you feel. This one is, I am the greatest singer in the world. And it's just so.
Also, it's attachment to a highly overrated
Titanic
movie. Yeah, and exactly. Just the way it's, and I'm not banging on Celine Dion here because she's got her fans and her defenders and whatever, but yuck. Awful. And that people have adopted this as their song. Stop it. No, bad. You're bad. Okay.
You're talking to us or Bixby?
Just the world. Just the frickin' world.
That's who you become. Larry, thank you for curating that. That was wonderful.
That was most fun.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Andy.
Do we have time for some Yaff Line calls?
Sure.
Let me tell you the phone number that you can call if you have something for the Yaff Line. Anybody can call this. This isn't just for dignitaries and heads of state. Anybody can pick up the phone.
And we've proven that over and over.
That number is 626-657-6428 or Amok PM Hat. First call. Let's see. This came in. This one came in.
I wonder
yesterday.
If it's going to be from a dignitary or a head of state.
Let's have a listen here. let's see.
Hello, Yaffers. I love the show. This is Lori, and I'm calling to please ask if there's any way you can film Josh watching, or you all watch together, a YouTube channel called Good Mythical Morning. It's a YouTube channel, They put out 2 days ago a video called Try Not to Gag Challenge. They watch, eat, and smell disgusting things, and it is so hysterical. And if we could get Josh's reaction to this video, my life would be made. I would be so happy. Once again, this is Lori, and thank you for doing this show. I love you guys, and can't wait for Sam to be back. Bye.
Okay, wow. Just FYI, my eyes are already watering. Just hearing that.
Lori, as you were just talking about this show, and she described nothing unseemly in her thing. She was just talking about the title of the show and that she wanted a picture of Josh and his reaction to it, right? That's all she said. I swear to God, I'm watching Josh on the screen here, he covered his mouth and turned away. Just the mention.
Here's why. Because the other day, you guys start making me think about this shit, my mind goes to the worst thing that I've seen lately. And I came walking through the living room and Cindy had Dr. fucking Pimple Popper on. And I walked through and I didn't look at the TV. Like, I was sideways to the TV and I heard this squishy noise. like a thick gelatinous substance. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and I turn and look, and it was like a mushroom cloud of pus and blood was coming out of this dude's shoulder. And I just went,
What do you think it smelled like?
So I just gagged and I Cindy's like, oh, you want me to turn it off? I'm like, no, I'm leaving. I'm like literally just walking through the room. I just walking to go upstairs and I just hear squish, squish, and I just turn and glance. And there was so much pus and it was cloudy like cauliflower. It was
God.
It was so bad.
Oh God!
I wish this on anybody that they.
I'm beginning to think that Cindy's not watching that show because she likes it. I think there's a whole different reason
show. If she hears me like come, if she's watching it and like hears me coming into the room, she'll like pause. Or she'll go, don't come in yet. Wait till it gets to a screen. You know what I mean? So she'll be like on a screen of some big pus bucket. Just bleh.
By the way, I am infuriated here. I'm looking at this YouTube channel for Good Mythical Morning, and their Try Not to Gag Challenge video has 1.3 million views. What are we doing wrong? They're taking our thunder here making Josh gag.
It's about to get 1.3 million in three. I'll tell you that.
What's it called?
We got to do this.
Good Mythical Morning YouTube channel.
Go to the next one. I'll see if I can find it.
All right. I need you to play something. Are you prepared to play?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact, and here we go.
Low energy bite. Art. Low energy bite.
Hey, Yaffers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. It's February, and you know what that means. Yep. Mud. Mud, and some more mud. Mud on the tracks, mud on the boots, mud stuck in the bed of the dump truck. I think you get the picture. On a brighter note, we've been getting some snow in the mountains, so the snowboarding opportunities have improved. Even got one good powder day in a few weeks ago. Anyway, that's all for now. I've got to go clean the mud off my boots. Pretty good times. For a mud digging man. Talk to you later.
Wow. That's mud. 2 weeks in a row where mud has been the main topic for LEM there.
I was just going to say quickly, Mud on the Tracks is one of my favorite Bob Dylan albums.
That is a great one. Yeah.
All right. So I have this pulled up and I'm it's 18 minutes.
Hold on,
I'm,
Josh. We have some business to attend to first. Hold on.
Okay.
That was the energy, Mike. That was the energy, Mike.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to Mike for stepping all over his theme. All right. So I'm going to just this is 18 minutes long. I'm not watching the whole thing. I'm going to put it on. And what I'm going to do is try to describe what I see so you know I'm actually watching it. All right? So, oh, no, I don't want to watch the commercials. Skip. Blah, 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 blah. Skip ads. All right.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, so it's just like the intro thing. I'm going to fast forward it. Just, I'm in a minute ahead, so go. All right, so this is the time when.
I mean, I guess I get to share this video, right?
Reflex, aka the gag reflex. Oh, come on, dude. Stop this talking is, and just make me gag.
That's what she said. Oh.
You know what? I don't know what.
I think this is something maybe for Valentine's Day for you and Cindy. She can film you with her phone while you look at gag videos. I think that would be a wonderful bonding experience for you guys.
I don't know if this is a gag video or what, but I've tried watching like I keep fast forward and I don't see anything that's gross.
I'm sure the payoff doesn't come until much later. By the way, you do Google gag videos, be very careful what you click on.
Maybe the fact that there's nothing to make you gag in that gag video is the gag. Jesus. Let's have one more phone call here.
He's
ready for this one?
He's got one in the chamber. He's always got a bullet.
That's three today. That's exactly. He's maxed out. I hope that's the last one.
Got one more call. Here we go.
This is George from Long Beach. Boy, you dispatched your assignment very quickly there. Good job with Bad Girls from Donna Summer with Referee Whistle Song, and the other one, Fool in the Rain from Led Zeppelin. Other popular ones, Paradise City from Guns N' Roses, and Give It to Me from Jay Giles Band.
Oh, okay.
Not to mention Asia from Steely Dan, which I mentioned in my last call. And now for NASCAR news. Due to the COVID situation, there will not be NASCAR racing in Southern California this year.
The normal
February Fontana race has been canceled. Actually, the race has been moved back to the Daytona Road Course. No racing here in Southern California. That's your NASCAR news update. This is George from Long Beach.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Thank God we were wondering what was going on with NASCAR.
It's just a wonderful non sequitur. I mean, he could say anything in there. Say, now for ionic irregularities and cold fusion. I mean, it's just.
Well, I appreciate that George just basically created his own unsolicited by us segment out of nowhere. Nobody ever mentioned NASCAR or asked for it.
Well, I guess I'd get off and watch the Super Bowl this weekend because there's no NASCAR.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Larry, was there anything burning in the yap sack? Anything burning in your sack?
Well, here's a little something that's irritating the sack. A nice email from Ryan real quick. Listening to episode 211, Head Cheese and Poppy Wieners. Oh, that was a good one. You guys were talking about German beer for your reunion episode. Check out Innegren Brewing based in Moorpark. Two brothers started it. All they do is traditional German lagers. They are sold in some stores or check out their website. Great beer, great guys, local. I think you'd enjoy it. Keep up the good work, Ryan. We're going to take that to heart. I think that's a great idea.
Innegren and Moorpark. I love it.
Yeah. So give them a shout out, and we'll give them a shot when we get back together for bratwurst and beer and Limburger and head cheese and all the fine delicacies, the Vienna sausage cans we're going to open up.
We've got so many things to do.
Yeah. And a little, I don't know. I forgot.
How can people send you a message in that yap sack? How can people get to your sack, Larry?
All right. Go ahead and reach into the sack. Yourartificialfriends @gmail.com.
Oh, and I saw somebody ordered a mug this morning or last night. Yeah,
from
yaffcrap.com. They got themselves a mug. There's a mug sitting in my cabinet right now. It's wonderful. It's something. You know what? I don't always use it. It's just nice to know it's there.
Yeah.
Do you guys have one yet?
No.
Sure. No?
Josh, when's your birthday?
April 9th.
April 9th. Ooh, yeah. I'm going to get one and send it to you.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. And Larry, we pretty much share a birthday.
That's right.
Do we exactly share a birthday or are you one day off?
I think we're one day off. I'm 27th.
2 days off. I'm
29. 29, that's right.
Yeah. So you have to wait.
Okay.
Hey, happy half birthday. We glossed over that a couple weeks ago.
How can anybody get a hold of you, Andy?
Gently. They can reach out to me on the social media. I'm on Instagram. You can follow me at Andy Chanley, all one word there. It's Andy_Chanley on Twitter, and Facebook is DJ Andy Chanley. Always happy to have people getting in my business there. What about you, Josh?
Joshua J. Fligger at gmail.com.
Woohoo! Fellas, this was a joy.
Send me your gag videos.
When the people that you know don't like you, and treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends with love.
I love you guys.
Aww. I love you. Happy Valentine's Day, my Valentine's.
And I like you guys pretty good.
You guys will do.
I tolerate you two.
Yep.
Have a great week. Bye. Talk to you next time.